Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Cremo presents a complete line of body wash, body bars, antiperspirants. Discover Cremo products, C-R-E-M-O, good on common sense. CremoCompany.com, love their stuff. I use their hair pomade. Ryan Hollins played in the NBA for a decade. He and I are just spitting facts here. A lot of haters. Joy, a lot of haters. Let's bring Ryan on right now. So we said last week, even when the Clippers were down, Ryan and I said, yeah, they're going to win the series. And what was the other thing we said, and we got a bunch of hate for? What was the other thing we...
They're mad at Ben Simmons. He's just not a fourth-quarter guy. He's a great player. He's just not a fourth-quarter guy.
Boom. There you go. So all you people out there, this is just facts. It's just spitting facts right here with Ryan Hollins. So I don't think it's as unpopular today. I'll get to the Ben Simmons thing in a second. Let's start with this. I do believe the Clippers, I thought they were going to win the Dallas series probably by about game three and then the Utah series. I don't think they'll win this. I don't. I think these young Phoenix players are moving into their prime years and they're all playing great. They're playing with confidence and they don't really have a hole, Ryan. They've got an athletic big. They got scores. They got wings. I think the Clippers are in trouble. I really do today. And your thoughts?
Colin, this is as much trouble as they've seen. The Utah Suns, if I can explain one thing they do well, and it seems small, they do the little things. You know, they rebound, they box out, they believe in each other. You know, DeAndre Ayton is sitting in his sweet spot for Devin Booker to go to work. They just believe. Ultimately, though, down 0-2, I am still going Clippers. Why am I saying that? Luka Doncic started out on fire, torching the Clippers. He wore down. Donovan Mitchell, superstar, man amongst boys. He wore down. It got to a point where he couldn't do everything. Devin Booker, check his nose out. Those meds aren't going to be nice. I know Devin Booker's young. He's got a chip on his shoulder. But this is a very Devin Booker-centric team. Well, wait, CP3 is coming back, right? I love Chris. It's career basketball. But the one thing Chris is eating you apart with is the pick and roll. And I think the Clippers are better adept to guard the pick and roll. Let's see the chess match behind the scenes. The Clippers are going to go small. They're going to force DeAndre Ayton to post up. And by the way, DeAndre Ayton has been all that in a bag of chips this series, okay? You saw that tip in last night. But I'm going to stay Clippers for versatility. I'm not sure if Kawhi gets back in the lineup or not. But more so, Devin Booker wearing down. I don't know, and you saw a little bit of it last night, if he can be the same Devin Booker all series long.
I've always had kind of a belief with the replay system that you get 30 seconds, and if you can't figure it out then, the system shuts down, and you're done. We're not going to go to the 18th angle on it. You get 30 for egregious mistakes, for really, really bad game-deciding mistakes. The Beverly Booker thing, it would shut down. You just go with your gut feeling, which is Phoenix ball. How, as a player in the NBA, did you like replay? Did you think it was a waste of time? How did it land for you?
Colin, I love replay. I love replay, and I think it's a system that the NBA is still getting right. Okay, the NFL has it really figured out. Our frustrations as players with replay would be a guy hacked you and grabbed you. The ball goes out of bounds. And yeah, the ball goes out of bounds off of you, but you see the guy grabbed you, and there's the reasons why it went out of bounds. We lost a tough game against the Grizzlies when I was playing for the Clippers, you know, on a call like that. Yeah, it's tough. It's like an extra timeout. We all know that. But at the end of the day, you want the correct call to be made as a player. So could they shorten up? Yeah. But ultimately, you want the referees to have as much time to overthrow or conclude a call as they can. So as a player, I'm with it. I think it's something we're just still experimenting with. And it's nothing worse than losing a game and knowing, I don't want to say you got cheated, that would be inappropriate, but to say that the wrong call was made when you know it didn't go out or it did go out off of a player.
Let's move to the Ben Simmons situation, which we have been saying it doesn't work. That's okay to say it doesn't work. The games don't fit. I do believe he has value. And I think what Philadelphia is going to do, and Doc Rivers and Daryl Morey have already done it in the last 2 days. They come out and they say nice things about him. We love Ben. We'll just tweak him. You know, I was saying the Eagles, when Carson Wentz struggled and the game got into his head, you started hearing all these bad leaks, bad guy, bad. And they tried to trade him, and nobody, the Colts got him for nothing. So the Philadelphia 76ers in your own city, my thing is just rehab the image, say nice stuff, don't badmouth him. I think he's movable. In your eyes, where does Ben Simmons fit? What kind of team? Is there a specific team?
Shooting, and even more shooting. If I'm going to move Ben Simmons, and by the way, Ben should have been moved last year. He should have been moved for James Harden. I don't care what first round picks you had to give up. All that people care about in Philly is a championship. So Ben Simmons should have been out of there. You've got to send them, duh, common sense, to a team with spacing. Here's a problem before I talk about possible landing spots. If you trade Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid goes down and is injured, as we've seen year after year after year. Now you don't have a single superstar. Now Ben Simmons can step into that role, hopefully, you know, with Joel out. And if you trade Joel and Joel is killing somewhere, Ben's not playing to par. Now they're going to assassinate you either way. Here's the problem for Elton Brand. He's going to have to make a tough call either way. And it looks like after this playoffs, seemingly Doc has given up on him. Joel Embiid throws him under the bus in the presser. They're going to have to move on from Ben Simmons. On Monday, I talked with my guy, Terrell Owens, about the Philadelphia fan base in media. He said they will tear you apart. And right now, he's seeing the mental part of Ben Simmons being gone. It's not that he can't play basketball. He's a fine player, but sometimes a fresh start is all that a guy needs. I'm going to throw it out to you, though, Colin. Golden State, you got shooters. You got shooters, but you need a playmaker. You need some youth there. You need someone who gets up and down the floor. I'd either let go, and no disrespect to these guys, Draymond or Wiggins. I'm sure you can make that money go ahead and match then. Shoot, I'd rule out the Lakers. I don't think they're a play there. New York, I could see him as a Knick. Possible, you know, Julius Randle on the market. You put some more shooters around him, and you let him free. If Ben Simmons ain't going to develop a jump shot yesterday, the day before, or the year before, ultimately you got to put guys around him that complement him. And Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons just don't fit. Doc Rivers and Ben Simmons just don't fit. I played for Doc in both places. Doc doesn't want a project. Doc don't want a Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons is too important to the team to be a project. And when they're telling you, Doc, you got to win now. So it's not ultimately a fit. And my understanding was, Colin, if I'm wrong, the process was over.
Finally, I think the Bucks handle Atlanta. I don't think it's relatively close. I think they're bigger, more experienced, more physical. I don't think Atlanta's got an answer for Giannis. I think Trae Young's going to get his. But I just think Milwaukee's got too many bodies. They've been here before. I don't think it's a competitive series. What do you think?
Hey, Colin, here's the reality of the matter. Let's not soft shoe around it, all right? Let's not soft shoe. There's no LeBron. There's no Steph. There's no Kevin Durant. Heck, there's no Jimmy Butler. Go win a championship, Giannis. There's no way around it. This is your time to shine. I don't care if you could shoot, if you can't shoot, if every shot you make in this next series to the NBA Finals on your way to a championship is a dunk or a jump hook or a layup or a free throw. Giannis has to win the championship this year. And heck, possibly no Kawhi, okay? Giannis has to win a championship. There's no way around it. He's got defenders around him. He asked for Jrue Holiday. He got Jrue Holiday. He needed another guy in P.J. Tucker. You got a P.J. Tucker. Lopez in the lineup. I know everybody's not high on Bud, but right now everything is about Giannis Antetokounmpo. He knocked off arguably the baddest man in the NBA in Kevin Durant. And now there is no excuse. Zero. Atlanta's just too young, Colin. I agree with you. There's zero excuse that Giannis doesn't step away as a champion this year.
Good stuff, Ryan Hollins. Great seeing you as well, bud. Love having you on the show, man. Thanks.
Appreciate it, brother.
He brings up a great point. Embiid's out. Rudy Gobert's out. Anthony Davis is out. Jokic is out. All these bigs are out. Like this, Giannis may have limitations, but he should be a 37-point-a-game guy going forward. I mean, you think about it. All the bigs. And now you get Atlanta, which is a young team, which is basically Atlanta's Milwaukee several years ago. So you start looking, even if they play, I mean, the only person Giannis would have to face would be DeAndre Ayton. Zubats is not a factor, you know, at his level. So DeAndre Ayton is, but again, you've got years on him.
Giannis is a two-time MVP.
Yeah, it's time.
Like, the Bucks should be favorites to win the championship, and they should absolutely have all of the pressure on them.
There are times in life things groove for you, right? Like we know life can be hard, but there are moments. There's a job opening. You're perfect for it. Somebody that may have gotten the job got another job, and you're like, wow, this is a moment. Sometimes the seas part a little. They've parted for Milwaukee and Giannis. Like, here's everybody's hurt except you and Phoenix. Everybody's missing somebody. And Atlanta's just simply not experienced enough or good enough or deep enough to beat you.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Joy with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is The Herd Line News.
Well, Chris Paul had to watch his son's incredible Game 2 win from home as he continues to work through the league's health and safety protocols. But he was very happy with what he saw at the end of the game. After the game-winning alley-oop to DeAndre Ayton, he tweeted in all caps, "Hell yeah," followed by "Big-time play call, Coach Mont." And he also got in on the celebration on FaceTime again with his teammates in the locker room. I think that Booker was FaceTiming him as he was walking off the court, actually, like showing him to the fans. The Suns are hopeful that he'll be able to play in Game 3. That was – and yeah, there you go. They're showing I love it. It was really an awesome ending to the game. And look, it was, if Paul George hits those free throws, it goes completely differently, and we're having a different conversation.
Listen,
about the Suns right
what
now.
What have they won? I think they've won 9 straight playoff games. Like, you start winning 9 straight playoff games, it's not happenstance.
No, they're serious.
And they don't have Chris Paul, and they've won 9 straight playoff games.
Cameron Payne was unbelievable last night.
He's got the weirdest game.
He had the game of his life.
It's got a little George Gervin. It's got a little, it's long and lanky. And
what I love about this Suns team, and I, again, give Chris Paul a lot of credit for, although Monty Williams has been incredible, they have such a refreshing edge to them. But not in the way, like, that game was very physical last night. Everyone was talking about all the flopping and all that. Like, that was a physical game last night. I mean, Devin Booker's broken nose.
Oh,
I mean,
no.
I don't.
When you play the Clippers,
it's broken, but it looks broken.
Yeah, Clippers are physical.
It was a very physical game last night. It had a real old school feel to it, and it was so much fun. Like, there's just a great energy in the playoffs. So I'm actually looking forward to this Hawks Bucks series because I just can't count the Hawks out, even though. Everything is just, we just said, it's part of ways for the Bucks. You have a 2-time MVP in Giannis. Everyone's hurt. This should be your championship year. Just every game, like, you can't really predict what's going to happen, and it's been awesome. So hopefully we'll see Chris Paul in Game 3 tomorrow, and he clears protocols and is out there. So Bill Belichick has made it clear many times he is not a big fan of analytics in football. He said before that he doesn't look at them and gives them no consideration during games.
Well.
And while speaking at the NFL General Manager Forum, he once again commented on his disdain for analytics, saying, "I prefer good players, good fundamentals, and good execution."
Boom!
No one believes this, Bill. Bill is one of the most calculated, probably the greatest in-game adjuster situational coaches of all time. Sorry, not buying that you don't pay a little bit of attention to analytics.
Yeah, I know somebody close to Bill who once said, Bill will take any new information. If a fan sent him a really thoughtful email and he had proof that something worked, he said Bill would use it. Bill is always open to anything. So analytics are things sent to you that are contrarian often to your eyes or your belief system. And, you know, so I think Bill has always been somebody, like Bill, to his credit years ago, he used a little of his own analytics when he decided that I'm going to attack the middle of the field. And maybe it's because Brady was getting older or something, but everybody else was doing perimeter. Bill started going heavy tight end usage, way more than the league average. By the way, Bill also went for it on fourth down.
That part.
Way before the rest of the league did. So Bill had his own analytics that are now confirmed by analytics, but Bill probably looked at it and just did simple math. I mean, Bill's mom spoke seven languages.
He also moves off players
fast
a year before that everyone else thinks that they should. Now, I do believe that he probably says this and emphasizes this, one, so that the analytics guys don't get more power
I think that's
than
true.
He does. And also, he doesn't want to be a prisoner of that information.
Right.
Like, get as much information as you can and then make your decision, but don't rely on numbers because, to his point, there is a human element. Obviously, there's humans playing this game, that's what you should lean on if that's what you have the biggest faith and conviction in, which has gotten him, you know, seven championships, six championships. So I get it. I just don't believe it. You don't get analytics at all. Like, no one's believing that. So Major League Baseball is cracking down on pitchers using sticky stuff during games. Some of the players are not happy with the way the league is going about implementing this sudden change. They've been told to expect two inspections per outing.
The starters are?
Yes. Last night, Nationals pitcher Mark Scherzer was inspected a third time at the request of Phillies manager Joe Girardi. Scherzer threw his hat and glove on the mound and started to undo his belt in frustration. Oakland A's reliever Sergio Romo also took his belt off, and he actually got his pants down after being approached for an inspection. I was dying laughing at this video of him and Sergio Romo yesterday. Like, it is so embarrassing. Why? This is Sergio Romo. Why? I mean, he's de-pantsing on the field, like, pants down. Here we go. Bloop. There they go. What is happening? How is this happening? This is unacceptable. If you're going to inspect the pitchers, you have to do it in the dugout or in some sort of room. Like, you're not stopping them in the middle of the field to check for sticky stuff on their belts.
And if they did have sticky stuff, they come down the steps and you have somebody waiting. It's hard to get rid of sticky stuff by, I mean, where you would put it.
If it's there, it's there. Well, that's why they're de-pantsing, to emphasize, like, where am I putting this? If it's there, it's there. They're not going to be able to wipe it off on their shirt or something.
To me, the only place I would use it is on the inside of my right belt. So, because as I pull my pants up, it looks very natural. Like, if I was cheating, I wouldn't put it on my
very
glove.
Clever.
So you'd put it on the inside of your right belt because, you know, like, you pull your pants up like once an inning and it's just that tack. And then you go to your glove. Just a little bit.
If you don't put it
on your hat or glove, because the umpire, that's the first thing they grab.
Well, yes, of course. So if they're cheating, they're not going to put it there because it's heightened, to Scherzer's point. He talked about it after the game. Everyone is looking for it right now, so you'd have to be an idiot
so
to put it there.
If I was an umpire, whatever, if you're a lefty or a righty, I would go to that side of your belt halfway around your hip and check the interior of your belt. So as you pull it up, you get it on your thumb.
That's a really good idea.
Let me tell you something.
It's a really good idea, Colin.
The new Colin is looking for edges.
Listen, personally, I'm into it. Like, I think this is a fun new element to baseball.
Really?
No. It looks insane.
Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Lie News.
We play Deal or No Deal in the NBA. There are a lot of rumors out there about players getting moved, not just Ben Simmons. Deal or No Deal next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week. Explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Hawks-Bucks Eastern Conference Finals Game 1 is featured on the free-to-play Fox Bet Super 6 app. Download the app and answer 6 questions about tonight's game for your shot to win $1,000.
NetSuite by Oracle, number one cloud financial system. NetSuite.com/herd right now. Graduate off QuickBooks. have control over your financials, e-commerce, and more. All right, Deal or No Deal, NBA edition. There's a lot of players as we, you know, we had the lottery, then we'll have the draft, we have free agency. It's a lot of players discussed, you know, as these sports have more money and there's more at stake. You're seeing good coaches get fired, like Rick Carlisle. You're seeing great young players. I want out very early. You're going to see stars moved. The reality is Portland's got to do something or people got fired. Terry Stotts, a good coach, got fired. Like, that creates movement. And the NFL is too big of a business. You can't just cash in a season. You have to be competitive. So Joy is going to play with us. Deal or no deal?
Will the Nets trade Kyrie Irving this offseason?
Deal. There is a report they will field offers. Basketball is a sport where you succeed means somebody else doesn't get the shot. Harden and Kevin Durant are greater offensive players, bigger people. I trust their bodies more, despite KD's injuries. If I have to go Harden or Kyrie, Harden gives me 80 games. Harden plays his arse off. Harden's a greater per-game scorer. I don't think this is basketball. Kyrie is just taking shots. And I do not think you can have a legitimate bench. If you want to play Kevin Durant 36 minutes, not 44, you've got to have a bench. You can't have a bench having three of the top five offensive players in the league. I think they move Kyrie Irving.
Interesting. Will the Mavs trade Luka Doncic this offseason?
No deal. Listen, Porzingis and Hardaway are nice pieces, but he's scored five times in 13 playoff games. He's scored over 40 points. And the truth is the Mavs were outscored by 43 points when he was not on the floor. Dallas does have to go get somebody who can handle the ball and spell him for about 5.5, 6 minutes, a half. Luka's not the issue. The Mavs GM or coach and roster's inability to maintain his standard is the issue. Luka's the thing you keep. You can move everybody. Coach, GM, players, you keep Luka.
Will the Warriors trade Steph Curry this offseason?
You could certainly, when you look at the numbers, make an argument. No deal. I just think he's too popular. I still think he's one of the top four or five players in the league. He's got 1 year left on a $200-plus million contract. He'll be the first player potentially ever to sign two $200-plus million contracts. But, I mean, listen, he's going to make $46 million next year, so he's going to be the highest-paid player in the NBA. Now, the good news is, he's not only the best shooter in a shooter's league, he's the best ball handler, and he's one of the best guys.
Yeah.
So I think you can justify, because they also, the Warriors have two picks in a very good draft, a 7 and a 14. So they're going to get two guys, two rotational guys. It's
or
a very
trade.
Yeah, or they trade and get one really good guy. So I can live with paying Steph a lot of money.
Will the Sixers trade Ben Simmons this offseason?
That's a deal. He's done. He doesn't fit Morey. He doesn't fit. Doc's not really into rebuilding players at this point. Doc wants already made products. He wants the omelet, not the egg. he didn't want to make the omelet. Simmons is entering the second year of a five-year deal at $177. So it's a lot of money. It's not Steph Curry money. You can move him because he's an elite defender, great size. The knock on him is he may not be real coachable. He's been coddled a lot. But I think he's a movable player. You know, a lot of people need a 6'10.5 ball handler who defends well. I mean, Rudy Gobert ain't not doing you much in the playoffs either, and Rudy Gobert's got value. You can move him in a heartbeat, so they'll move him.
Will the Blazers trade Damian Lillard this offseason?
No, because I think outside of Steph Curry, he's got no equal in the league. He's the second best or best shot maker late in games in the league. So what's the point? What Portland needs is a wing scorer. They need some, I think they need a better backcourt mate that can defend. CJ McCollum and Dame are not great defenders. Dame's small, right? Like he's not. So Ben Simmons to me is not a terrible move for Portland to move CJ McCollum and draft picks. So Dame's the guy, when you have one of the best shooters in a shooter's league and maybe the best or second best clutch player in the league, you don't move him. You find players who do what he can't.
Will the Wizards trade Bradley Beal this offseason?
Yes, deal. I mean, he's going to be on his third coach. He's got to want out. He's going to exercise his option. He should. It's a losing franchise. Chaos. Too many coaches. And you know what? It's time for Washington. Start over.
Will the Clippers trade Paul George this offseason?
No deal. He's 31. I think he's got at least 3 years more of high level 3-and-D. I mean, he can hit a three. He can D. Paul's a really good player. He's one of the closest things we have to Kawhi Leonard in this league. He's a good guy. He's a gym rat. He works his butt off. Sometimes in big spots, you know, say what you want. He's averaging 31 a game in his last four playoff games without Kawhi. So the idea that he's sinking, he missed a free. If he'd gone 1-for-2 last night, we'd be okay. He went 0-for-2, and we think he's a bum. Paul can play.
It's a little bit of a reaction to missing those. I mean, look, you got to make your free throws though. Will the Pelicans trade Zion Williamson this offseason?
No deal. Not yet. They're not going to trade him until they're forced to. It's like Anthony Davis. Yeah. You don't move him until you're forced to. He is set to become a restricted free agent. They can match his offer in a couple years. I think you hire like a Chauncey Billups. You get Mike Krzyzewski on as a consultant. Make him feel at least comfortable. You give this group of guys one more year. If they don't work, you go out and make a big trade, but you don't trade Zion again. He's as good a young big as we have. Don't screw with that.
Will the Lakers trade Anthony Davis this offseason?
I would consider it strongly. I don't think they will, because I do think Anthony's going to feel the heat. He's hearing it. He's going to put in the time. There's going to be a longer off season to get his body healthy. Anthony's going to have a really nice all-star year. He'll be in the MVP conversation. But after that, if Anthony has a huge year next year, I think I would strongly consider it. This is who he is. He doesn't put the time in. Sometimes players, when forced to do something, will. Ben Simmons probably will do some things in the next calendar year because he's forced to. But people revert back to what they are. And Anthony is not a grinder, is not an off-season workout guy, and his body tells you that. Deal or no deal. Enjoy spa-like comfort with Navien tankless water heaters. You save space, it's tankless. You save money, the planet, time. TanklessMadeSimple.com, TanklessMadeSimple.com. Navien, they have 15-year limited warranties, among the best in the industry. Ryan, enjoy. Good show today. Bucks, Atlanta tonight. I'll take Milwaukee comfortably, and I like him in 5 in the series. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow. SFY is next.